Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome. Welcome each and every one of you to our service here in Railway Street on Sunday the 17th of October. Happily, you're not getting the same extreme close-up you normally get. They've zoomed out a little bit, not so you can see some of those beautiful flowers that I'm surrounded by today and that are all across our meeting house today. And that's a reminder that we're gathering today to worship God and to give thanks for the harvest, to praise God for his good gifts and his provision for all our daily needs and for his faithfulness to all his promises. Folks, we are living in days of mass hysteria when it comes to issues regarding our climate. That's what it is. It's mass hysteria. There's a lot of fear being generated out there. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we're not facing a serious situation in regards to this planet on which we live. We are. But as Christians, we do not buy into that fear and hysteria. We don't. We don't. Because we have a God that we have faith and confidence in. And in these days when all around us people are losing their heads, we keep ours. We keep our heads. And we remind ourselves of God's promise. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Our confidence is in our God, the creator of this world, the provider of our daily needs, and the one who is sustaining our lives from day to day, and the one who is sustaining this planet according to his good purposes. And so as we gather here today, we don't gather with fear. We gather with joy. We gather with confidence. We gather in faith, and we say together, as the psalmist says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So let's praise God, and let's use those very words as we stand to sing together, keeping our face coverings on, and we join in this time of praise, beginning with, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let's continue in that attitude of worship as we come before God in prayer. Last week, as we were thinking about gathering, thinking about how our praying together, our praising together is a fundamental part of what we do together. And we talked about sharing together in prayer. I was going to invite you to do that. I'm going to lead us in prayer. But at the end of each section, if we go on to the first slide, Gordon, just so folks, thank you, folks can see. Each time, I ask you to join with me in saying, Lord of the harvest, hear our prayers. And when we come to the end, let's practice joining together in the amen. So let's come before God together in prayer. Creator God, we thank you for the gift that is creation, for the beauty of the earth, and how you've created us to care for it. We're sorry for the ways we've neglected this. Help us to work together to care for your world. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayers. Generous God, we thank you for the gift of food, how it brings us together and nourishes us. We pray for those without whose harvests and store cupboards are empty. Help us to work together to share the world's resources so that everyone can be fed. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayers. Sustaining God, we thank you for the gift of those who farm and prepare our food, for their labor, their innovation, and their care. We pray that everyone will be able to work with dignity, that many will be lifted out of poverty. Help us work together to call for a just and fair system of pay and working conditions. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayers. All-powerful God, we thank you for the gift that is creation, for the beauty of the earth and how you've created us to care for it. We're sorry for the ways we've neglected this. Help us to work together to care for your world. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayers. The people of God said together, Amen. I'm going to invite Heidi to come up and to read to us from God's word, from Psalm 104.
Our reading is from Psalm 104, verses 1 to 14. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundation. It can never be moved. You covered it with the watery depths as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder they took flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the sky nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth.
Thanks, Heidi, for that reading. Folks, at this stage, if you're happy and you're comfortable, please feel free to take off your face coverings. Folks, again, it's great to see so many in our meeting house today. It's a joy to have you all here. Particularly, folks, if this is your first time back in this building in some considerable time, we're especially pleased to see you. Last week, when I come home, I got told off because I set this down like this and left it there, and it was in camera shot for the whole of the rest of the service. So I don't want to get told off when I go home today. So, folks, we're going to do this now. Get it out of the way. There we go. It's harvest time. It's a joyful time of year. We take time to be thankful for all that God provides us through the natural world. Today is a day to be thankful for all of God's gifts. So let me encourage you, particularly our younger people, our children, but anybody of any age, if you have something you're thankful for, just shout it out, folks, because I can't see you all from here. I can see you all, but I can't make out individual faces, particularly at the back of the gallery. So if you're thankful for anything today, shout out and tell me what it is. What are you thankful for? Not much. What are we thankful for?
Family.
Thank you. You almost think I planted you there to shout that, Stephen. Right. Stephen's got us going. What else are we thankful for? I heard something else already. Food. Where'd that come from?
Up here.
Daniel, thank you. What else?
Animals.
Animals, right. Any particular animals we're thinking of? Anybody? What? I mean, I don't know. My daughters keep telling me everybody on Railway Street now has a dog, Dad, apart from us. Now, I know that's not true, but as time goes on, it seems to be becoming more true. Anything else we're thankful for? Let's think of types of food. What type of food are we really thankful for?
Bread.
What else? What else? Did somebody say cucumber? Wow. That's good. That's good. I remember many years ago, I did a Harvest Children's Talk where I had a piece of broccoli wrapped up in a box with lovely wrapping paper and a bow and opened up and it was broccoli and all the kids went, ugh. And I said about how that's still a gift from God. We've got to be thankful for it. One of our family, I can't remember who now that night when they were saying their prayer said, and thank you God for broccoli just a little bit. Any other food we're thankful for? What was that?
Fish and chips.
Fish and chips. Absolutely. Where would we be without fish and chips? Yep. One more.
Ulster fry.
Now, did your wife get up and make one of those for you this morning, Ian, or did you get up and make it for her? No, it wasn't time for an Ulster fry this morning. Okay. So many things that we're thankful for. So many good gifts that God has given us. And for all of us, most of us who live here in the city of Lisburn, I know some of us live out in the countryside, but most of us, the vast majority of us, live in the city. And sometimes it's hard for us who live in the city to link the food we eat with the land around us because we don't live on the land. So more often than not, we link our food with some of these places. We link it with Tesco or Sainsbury's or Eurospar or Lidl. Other supermarkets are available. But for people like this lady we're thinking about today, and we're making use of a harvest resource from Tear Fund today, which is very appropriate since half of our harvest offering is going there. This is Luyara. Luyara is a farmer in a country called Burkina Faso. And for farmers like Luyara, the surrounding land is everything. And we're going to be coming back to think about Luyara later on. Folks, the first thing we want to think about now is God's love for his creation. God's love for his creation. There's the beautiful planet that we all live on. God's love for his creation. The person who wrote Psalm 104 that Heidi read for us there clearly had a huge appreciation and an understanding of God's creation. Where the birds nest, where the mountain goats live, the skill of the lion as it hunts its prey, the vast array of creatures living in the water, a beautiful, beautiful world that we live in. And as a result of how nature fits together, the psalmist is inspired to worship the Creator God. Way on later in the psalm, in verse 31, we read, "May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works." God too rejoices in his creation. In all things being as they were created to be. And the beauty and the variety of all that he has made brings God joy. But it's not just that the world around us is glorious to behold. Verses 10 to 18 of Psalm 104 describes how God provides for us through this world. For plants, for animals, for humankind. Verses 13 and 14 declare that he waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. And as we look around, we can see some of that food that comes forth from this earth that God has made. And indeed, God thinks so much of his creation that he even became a part of it when he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to earth in human form. And during his time on this earth, Jesus immersed himself in creation. He used creation to illustrate God's kingdom. He told parables like the parable of the sower that got people to watch the farming that was happening all around them. Or when telling us not to worry, he encouraged us to look to the birds of the air, to look at the flowers of the field. Lord Jesus lived among this creation, teaching the people about God from the mountains, from the shorelines, and even on the lakes as he sat on one occasion or stood in a boat out from the shore in Lake Galilee and taught the people. We rejoice today that this world is held together by a Creator God who is happy with the world that he has created. And yet we don't have to look very hard at the world today to see that this perfect balance that God created is not as it should be. And that's the second thing we need to think about this morning, the damage that we have done to creation. The damage we have done to creation. Because all too often the land isn't satisfied with water, but it's parched. Or it gets too much water and it's flooded. Sometimes grass is sparse and dried out. Sometimes plants for harvest do not grow. And sometimes instead of taking care of the earth as God instructed mankind to do at the beginning, the way that we live and the way that we work and the way, especially in the West, we consume has pushed creation to breaking point. Whether it's plastic pollution littering the seas, whether it's the poorest communities with not enough to eat, or species going extinct, or climate crisis causing more droughts and floods and storms. All these are as a result of humanity's sin. We've damaged this beautiful world, which is a gift from God. And we're feeling some of the effects of this in the UK. I know, living out among farming community for 11 years, they were able to identify that climate patterns had changed. Things are not the way that they were years ago. The climate is changing, and that's bringing challenges. But it's people who are living in poverty who are being hit the hardest. That's what we want to think about. Now, I've got pictures of some items here, and I want you to tell me, first of all, what they are and see if we can connect them together. Here's the first one. What is that? Does anybody know the technical name for that item? What is it? It's a trowel. Who knows how to use a trowel? Put your hand up. There's our gardeners. It's a trowel. Here's the second item. Somebody, what is that? Calculator. Who'll be using one of those tomorrow morning? Yeah, a couple of hands are up. Here's the next item. What's that? Scales, a set of weighing scales. Next one. What have we got there? Yeah, we've got a smartphone. Not sure what brand it is. Might be an iPhone. Other brands are available, of course. Smartphone. Tell me this, and be honest here. How many of you have a phone with you this morning? Right. Now, you're all saying, well, we brought it so that we could access our Bible. Yeah, sure. And nobody's looked at it since we had our reading. Well, we'll come back to the phone later. The last item. What's that? Oh, we hate these, don't we? Who's looking forward to that going off tomorrow morning? Horrible on the Monday morning, isn't it? An alarm clock. Now, I wonder, can you tell me what links all those items? What connects them? What do you think, Chelsea? Don't know. Okay. Well, these are all items people use to do jobs. Different jobs. Trial. Tool for a gardener, farmer, calculator, maybe for an accountant, set of weighing scales for a baker, and of course, no matter what job we're doing is, we all need an alarm clock to make sure we wake up in time. And increasingly, many of us, and increasingly I'm in this category, many of us couldn't do our jobs without our smartphones. And again, we'll come back to that phone later. For now, I want to go back to Luyara, who is a farmer in Burkina Faso. Now, Burkina Faso is in West Africa. Here's a wee map coming up now. Burkina Faso is in West Africa. I'm sure you don't know much about Burkina Faso. Let me tell you a few things about Burkina Faso. In Burkina Faso, 1 in 10 people are facing hunger. 1 in 10 people are facing hunger. And before the coronavirus pandemic, an estimated 1 million people didn't have access to basic health care. 1 million. And more than 80% of the population depend on agriculture to make a living. 80% of people work the land in order to try and grow crops to make a living. And to farm, Luyara needs seeds, and she needs tools such as a trowel and a rake, and she needs soil, and she needs sun, and she needs rain. But over the past few years, the land in Burkina Faso has become drier. And drier, because those rains have failed to come. Now, we seem to get no end of rain in this country, but in other countries like Burkina Faso, the rain has failed to come. And so Luyara's crops haven't grown, and so her family is hungry. And the climate in Burkina Faso, like many other places around the world, is changing. Droughts are becoming more common. And in many cases, while we can adapt in many ways in our land, it's people in poorer countries who are suffering most. We're going to watch a video now from Tear Fund, and it's about Luyara and her family's story. Around the world, millions of people are being pushed back into poverty, whether that's due to climate change or due to COVID pandemic. Back in 2016, world hunger started to increase for the first time in a decade and has continued to increase every year since. Because of climate change, because of conflict, because of COVID. Our calling is to act and as God's people to care for God's world. We've already heard some of the good news, the difference that Tear Fund and its partners are making to people like Luyara and her family in Burkina Faso. In a few moments, we're going to think about more of the good news and the opportunity we have to share that good news. Folks, today I want to thank all those who have been involved in preparations for this service. As you look around, folks, you will see many flowers. Practically all of those flowers for our arrangements today have been supplied by John Robinson. We really want to thank John. It's a tremendous gift to have, to be able to grow flowers like that. And we thank John for that. Also want to thank those who have put those into such beautiful arrangements, which will be distributed to a number of our members over the next couple of days. And so I want to say a big thank you to the team responsible for that, working many, many hours in challenging circumstances. As time goes on with the Link redevelopment, that has knock-on effects in terms of how we do a lot of things, not least getting things ready for harvest. But I want to thank Elma Lindsay and Vera Watson and Liz McNeely and Elaine Mitchell and Elizabeth Bridget and Ruth Jardine and also Ruth Nelson and Sheila Jemison for all the displays, floral arrangements and the displays of fruit and vegetables that we see today. At the end of the service, we'll be able to show a short wee video just to show some of those things in greater detail, because I appreciate we can't have you all wandering around looking at them, but we'll do that later. So thank you to all involved in decorating our meeting house so beautifully and tastefully today. And thank you to those who are participating and facilitating our service, whether at the front or particularly the folks down at the back and the folks on the door. We're continuing our practice of taking up a harvest offering that's divided equally between Tear Fund and Christian Aid. And we would encourage you to contribute to that. And one of the following ways: you can do a bank transfer to the church's bank account using the word harvest in the reference. You can place your gift in an envelope. There are some harvest envelopes in the pews that we're using today. Take one of those, fill it today, or return it next week. Or use a plain envelope, simply mark it harvest and put your FWO number on the front and just leave it in the offering plate as you go out, or put it through one of the usual letter boxes. Let's remember that we're also encouraging you to support practically the work of Lisburn Food Bank. Here's a list of the items that are most needed this October time. Coffee, custard, biscuits, rice pudding, pasta and sauce, ketchup and brown sauce, UHT milk, men's and women's deodorants, toilet rolls. So if you can donate any of those items, donate them either direct to the food bank, the supermarkets where there is an opportunity to do that, or bring them, put them in the baskets we have down there. And thank you to all of you who week by week have been bringing items to the food bank. Don't forget as well, folks, Samaritan's Purse. We ran out of these last Sunday. We got some more during the week, so we have more shoeboxes here. And there's still plenty of leaflets on how to pack a shoebox. I see some of you already have those back again. You're very well organized. These are free, folks. Take them. Make up a shoebox for this Christmas. And we need those shoeboxes returned by the end of this month, by the 31st of October, to get them then to the collecting centres. One of the best things we can do to help and encourage one another, and we were thinking about how important it is to encourage one another in our gatherings, one of the most important ways we do that is by praying together. And so I want to invite you to come and join with us tomorrow evening. Our prayer focus will meet tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. in number 31. Remember, you have to access number 31 from Railway Street, folks. But if you can, come and join with us at 8 p.m. Tomorrow. So we thought about God's love for his creation. We thought about the damage that we have done to creation. Thirdly, we want to think about the hope we find in Jesus. Here's the good news, the hope that we find in Jesus. As we've seen, things on this earth are not as God created them to be. As a result of mankind's sin, we've done great damage to creation. But we find hope through Jesus because God sent his Son into the world to save the world. Colossians 1, verses 19 and 20, we read these words, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," that is Jesus, "and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Friends, because of Jesus' death on the cross, all things can and will be made new. Everything that sin has broken and corrupted through Jesus is being restored and reconciled to God, being made friends again with God. That includes us if we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Because as the Bible tells us, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. But it doesn't just include us, it includes the whole of creation. Romans 8 says, verses 19 to 21 in the Living Bible says this, "For all creation is waiting patiently and hopefully for that future day when God will resurrect his children. And on that day, thorns and thistles, sin, death and decay, the things that overcame the world against its will at God's command, will all disappear. And the world around us will share in the glorious freedom from sin which God's children enjoy." That tells us that the whole of creation is waiting for God to heal it. Folks, I've said this in recent days. Let me say it again. We cannot save our planet. We can't. But nor do we have to. At the minute, we have so many people getting themselves worked up in fear and terror over what they say is the imminent end of life on this planet and saying we have to act now to save this planet. Folks, we cannot save this planet. That's way above our power and our pay grade. We can't save the planet, though we have a responsibility to do all we can to work together to take care of it. But ultimately, no human action is capable of saving this planet. This planet is sustained by its creator until God's kingdom comes in all its fullness. And on that day when Jesus returns, he will make everything new. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. Creation will be healed and restored to the way it was meant to be. That's the hope we have in Jesus. Jesus is the one who saves this planet. Jesus is the one who makes everything new. But as we wait for that day, as people who belong to Jesus as Christians, we are invited to be part of God's ministry of reconciliation. To invite people to be reconciled to God through Jesus, but also reconciling people to the creation we've been given to care for. The hope we have in Jesus. Fourthly, finally, an invitation to respond. How do we respond? How do we respond today? In Matthew 22, Jesus tells us that the greatest commandments are to love God and to love our neighbors. And as the parable Jesus told about the Good Samaritan shows us, we're called to be good neighbors to anyone who needs our help, whether they live next door, whether they're sitting beside us or around us here in Railway Street today, or whether they live across the world from us. So how do we help people like Luyara in Burkina Faso? We need to share the load. We need to share the load. Now, this is where the camera needs to follow me because I need to come back down here for a wee moment. A couple of willing help. Well, I don't know if they're willing helpers. I told them they were going to help. Jacob, come on up. So what I've got here at the minute is an empty bag. And Jacob's going to hold that for me. Jacob, you're going to take a couple of sandals. Take a wee walk just down there and back again. Great, back again. Now, Jacob, is there any difficulty holding that bag?
No.
None at all. It's very light, isn't it? There's nothing in it. Right, stay there. Right. Now, you've got some logs here, so set the bag down. Try that now. Bit heavier. Set it down again.
Right.
Now, Jacob, do you fancy carrying that too far on your own?
No.
What do you really need when you've got a load like that?
Somebody else to help.
Ben, get up here. Set it down. When you've got something that's too heavy for you to carry by yourself, you want somebody to share the load. So if Ben takes one side, Jacob takes the other side. No problem at all. It's a lot easier if you have somebody. Thanks, boys. It's a lot easier if you have somebody to share the load. So how can we share the load this harvest and help people like Luyara? Well, this year, as you know, because we're hearing about it constantly in the news, the UK is hosting the UN climate talks in Glasgow in November. And how our government in the UK chooses to rebuild after the pandemic will not only shape our own economy, but will also influence other nations. And so this is a crucial moment for our leaders to take climate change seriously. Tear Fund has joined with the Climate Coalition to call on our governments in the UK to help build a fairer, more sustainable recovery from the pandemic for our world and everyone in it, including farmers like Luyara. And so by adding our name to the Climate Coalition's declaration, we're joining with thousands of others calling for greater support for people in poverty who are most vulnerable to climate change. And so here's where our smartphones come in today. If you've got a smartphone, hold it up for me now. And can we put the address up, Gordon? So here's the address, folks. I want you to type that into your phone. Here's a really practical response to God's word today. So if you go to www.tearfund.org/campaign/reboot, I'll give you a moment to type this in if you wish to. You may as well use your phones for something useful. And that should take you to a page that looks like this, Gordon. Okay, so you should come to a page like this, and you'll see on that little bit, sign the declaration, tap that. It'll take you to the reboot declaration. Have a wee look down at that. And there's a letter there to our Prime Minister calling on the UK to lead towards a fairer future, to leave no one behind by increasing support to those most vulnerable to the impacts of climate change, to unleash a clean energy revolution, to protect, restore, and expand our green and wild spaces. And so if you feel you can sign up to that, you can share the load today, you can make a difference, just select your title. We've got Reverend Michael. Oh. Last name, Davidson. Please tell us if you are 18 or over or under 18, 18 or over, email address. And then you can tick whether you want email or Tear Fund to contact you. Find your address, sort by postcode BT28. Whose house was I thinking of? Right. Find address. There's the manse. Lisburn, BT. Sign declaration. And it should be done, folks. That's something you can do. If you don't have your phone with you, you can go online when you come home. Thank you for taking action. You've put your faith into action to tackle poverty and injustice. That should be the message you've got back. Share the load. Of course, we can also give, enabling Tear Fund to work through its partners alongside families like Loyaris to help the poorest people adapt to the climate change around them, as we saw in that video. Credo are helping them to do. £38 could provide a woman with the materials and training needed to start her own sustainable poultry farm. £57 can bring up the slide, Gordon. £57 could help towards training an entire village in how they can protect themselves against disease and illness through sustainable waste management. £200 could contribute towards the cost of installing a solar water pump in a community vegetable garden to increase the chances of a successful harvest. We can share the load by giving today, by taking those envelopes, giving towards Tear Fund and Christian Aid, and making a difference there. Let's do all we can to come alongside our global neighbours and help them share the load this harvest time. The last slide. Cannot say we didn't know. Church has a history of standing up to injustice and oppression. The church is and must remain a prophetic voice for our nation, as our neighbours in Burkina Faso and around the world face the daily burden of the climate crisis, we must act. To ignore their suffering is to ignore the call of Christ to love our neighbours. It's great to rejoice in our harvest today, folks, but so important we share that with others and we do what we can to share the load. I'm going to invite Hannah Craig, to come up. Hannah's going to lead us in prayer now. Thanks, Hannah.
We are going to speak to God now and pray for countries around the world who are facing changes to their weather and climate. So if you agree with what I pray, you can join me in saying amen at the end. Let's pray. Father God, God of justice, we pray for people around the world who are suffering the effects of the climate crisis. We think of those in Bangladesh, the Philippines, Mozambique, and Central America, who have recently faced deadly cyclones and floods, facing too much rain for the land to cope. We think of those in Burkina Faso, Brazil, Ethiopia, and Zimbabwe who are facing prolonged droughts, too little rain to water the land for things to grow. Lord, we are sad that it does not seem fair that those who have done the least to cause the crisis are suffering. Father, please provide for them, protect them, and give them hope for the future. Father, we ask that you bless churches and charities who are responding to the crisis. Equip them and give them wisdom. Lord, you ask us to work with you to protect our neighbors. Please help us to think of ourselves less, so that the churches we can stand up for those in need, raise awareness, and call for change. And Lord, when the problem feels too big or overwhelming, keep our eyes fixed on you, who can do more than we ask or imagine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to invite the band to come up and lead us. Folks, we're going to join in our final item of praise again. We're focusing on God's faithfulness, as we see in creation, as we see it in his provision for our needs. After the benediction, I'm going to ask you just to take your seats. Somebody took just a little video of the arrangements all around the church. Maybe, Ian, after the benediction, if you could play me something just in the background while that video was playing. Then after that, we'll invite you to make your way from the meeting house. So we're going to stand as we sing. Put your face coverings back on, folks, please. We're going to sing together, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." I don't know where you are, Stephen, but after the video, can you come up and do the normal? Thank you so much. Let's say the words of the grace together. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day. and forevermore. Amen.